Well, it is great to be with you today, Harbour Church. I'm really excited because last time I came, there's a funny sound. I'm just flagging that up. There we go. Last time I came, everyone was wearing masks, so I couldn't actually see you. Whoa. That's all right. I'm just scared it's me. Am I in the wrong? No, I'm okay. Yes, so last time I came, you were all in masks. I couldn't see you, which obviously totally changes the dynamic of speaking to a group of people. So it's so great to be with you here today and feel like I really am with you. Going to open up God's word together and really looking forward to coming and speaking to you today. Should we just pray before we start and then we'll get into the word of God? Father, we just thank you for your word that is so rich in what it brings to us. And Father, I pray this morning as we read your word, as we learn from your word, you would open our ears to hear what you want to say into our lives today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful. Well, obviously, I'm sure last time I came, I introduced myself, but my name is Hannah. I'm from Dagenham, which is in East London. So I thought today to start us off, I'd tell you a little bit about where I live. Dagenham's not the most glamorous place in London. It's not sort of the place that you generally visit. Obviously, everybody's welcome. I love it. But it's not generally the place that you go to in London. It's in the East End of London. I obviously love it. But it is a little bit of a unique place. And I was having a think this week about my street and how really the street that I live in encompasses what Dagenham looks like. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. So I live in the house that was originally my grandparents' house. So after the war, a massive housing estate was built in Dagenham. In fact, Dagenham basically was a massive housing estate. They bought a house there, lived in it, and then when my nan passed away, I was able to live in her house. And so I live on this street, and it's really interesting because the dynamics of the street, I'm sure, have completely changed over the years. Now, I'm sure that's the same here in Folkestone. In fact, I've been laughing last time I came about what you call DFL, down from London. I think it sounds like TFL, like the train system. I was like, is this a different kind of train system? No, but down from London. So in similar form, my area has completely changed. So let me just tell you a little bit about what my street looks like. I'm going to give you a little glimpse into Dagenham life here today. Okay, so it is such a mix of people in my street. Okay, firstly, to the left of my house, we have a couple and their two kids who are originally from Lithuania. They're wonderful, but they speak really loud all the time. It's just really interesting. And also, what I love about them is they're quite risky when it comes to fireworks. So, I don't know whether I love it, but I get a good fireworks show, so it's kind of good. But I always remember New Year's Eve. So my friend Ali's here. She's my housemate. So we were in the house, and there was a bit of a racket outside. I thought, what was going on? I looked out the window, and they were setting fireworks off of our front wall. I mean, it was quite spectacular, really. And then one of the guys was in the middle of the road holding a rocket, yeah? And it was like spurting up. So that was quite interesting. Okay, so there is that side. On the other side of us, so to the right, we have a couple and their three children, and they are Muslims. Okay, they are just brilliant neighbours to us. Okay, so when we're not there, they park their cars on our house drive so it looks like someone's there, so that people don't break in because we're in Dagenham. That's really, really helpful. When we had a fish, they'd come in and feed the fish for us. They look out for our garden. They're just like absolutely brilliant. And they make us loads of food. It's just wonderful. So especially if they're having a barbecue, they'll bring around a platter of food. So it's just brilliant. Then opposite us, we've got what I would class as a typical Dagenham woman. She's called Tracy. Of course she is, because she's from Dagenham. And Tracy one day, just to give you context, I found Tracy outside my house in her dressing gown, waving frantically. And I was thinking, what is going on? So I went out, I said, you all right, Tracy? in a strong Dagenham accent to relate. And she was like, oh, I'm getting really angry, beep, 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 about the car parking situation. And my husband, he needs to park here because he's a taxi driver. So I'm saving him this space. I know it's outside your house, but I need a space. So I was, oh, yeah, okay. So that's Tracy opposite. We also have a drug house, pretty common for Dagenham. Everyone's got a drug house down this street. Kind of shocking, but that's the way it is. One that's particularly funny is the back of our house, so the house that sort of is behind, there's just this dog that constantly barks. Now, it's funny because I wrote this a few days ago, and then literally last night at about 11 p.m., all I could hear from my room was Alison in the other room shouting at the dog. Just like, shut up. I mean, she was getting really angry. And at least for an hour, from like 11 till midnight, this dog just continually barked. The funny thing was, when I woke up this morning and came out of my room, I heard it barking again. I thought, this is just like beyond. So there's that. And then a few doors down, there's a halfway house. So there's some people in there that are just really struggling and often are found just wandering around the area. So I hope that kind of gives you a little bit of a picture of where I come from and what my house is like. It's a real mix of a place. And somehow you know what it's like, that wherever you live, whatever your situation is, somehow you have to live in this environment in a state of peace. I remember the parking has kind of been solved, but there was constant parking wars. And I'll be honest, I don't know whether I always reacted the best, because I used to get so frustrated when I couldn't find somewhere to park. But somehow this random community of people have to find a way in order to be able to live together. And I really want to talk today on the topic of building bridges, which I think is kind of ironic, because I had to come over the bridge today at Dartford to get here. It was a bit concerning because of the wind, but we made it, so it's all okay. But I want to talk to you today on this topic of building bridges. You know, if we look across our world today, and it's funny really, because even as I was preparing this, I hadn't really looked at the news. I've now looked at the news and realised it's even more relevant to our situation. The reality is, we need to be people that are willing to build bridges towards other people. And when we look at the news, it's quite clear that we live in a very broken society where not a lot of bridges are being built. I remember a few years ago reading the autobiography of a former Secretary of State of America called Condoleezza Rice, and a big thick book. It was fascinating, because half of her job was really going to these war-torn areas and trying to sort out some level of peace going on. And what fascinated me in the book was that actually what she was doing at a national level is often what happens when I speak to my neighbour and I try and discuss where we're going to park. There's some level of peace that has to be brought. And so I wonder today, if you've got your Bibles, maybe you can turn to John 4. One of my favourite stories in the Gospels, the woman at the well, is commonly known of, and it's just so rich in its content. And so I'd like to just really be able to open this up today as we really look at what it is to build bridges in a society that is very broken in what we live in. You know, in John 4, we see this woman who's called the Samaritan woman. We don't know her actual name. We're just told who she is, defined by the place that she's from. And I love this story because it's so countercultural. We see this woman, it tells us she's a Samaritan. And if you know any of the history of the Samaritan people, they were always at loggerheads with the Jewish people. Just constant warring went on between them. If you go back hundreds of years prior to this point that we're about to read, there were some things that went on that weren't good. The Jewish people felt that they weren't truly Jewish. And so they just were constantly at war with one another. The reality was that there was huge amounts of prejudice towards them that was really intense. And so when we get to John 4, it tells us that Jesus went to this place really to encounter this woman. It was obviously intentional on his part. And it tells us that he had to go through Samaria, so the place where she would have been. And it's interesting to me, because the reality is lots of Jewish people of the time would not have gone through Samaria. They would have tried to avoid it at all costs, particularly the towns in Samaria. They didn't want to come into contact with people. But Jesus, on purpose, as if planning to build a bridge, decides to go through this particular place. And so we have this most fascinating and beautiful story where he encounters this woman at the well. There's so many complexities to the story, many broken symbols of what society is and really what society is today. You know, there was a racial divide, the Samaritans and the Jews. They traditionally hated each other. There were racial problems that went back and back in their history that they brought. There were gender divides. Jesus was talking to a woman as a man. In those times, that would have been unheard of. But he broke down some of those barriers. There was a religious divide. They came from differing religious backgrounds, believing different things. And there was a sin divide. If we read on in the story, you'll see that this woman's had multiple affairs, it appears. And so there's these huge barriers and divides that takes place, yet Jesus comes and somehow is able to build a bridge to this woman. You know, when we look at it, we see that actually there was this huge society problem that was taking place, but we also see this individual in the middle of the society. And sometimes I think that is so real to our lives today that we can look at the news and think, wow, there's all these crazy things going on all over the world that don't affect us. But if we drill it down to actually our own personal lives, the reality is we all have situations around us. We probably all, in some extent, have crazy streets that we live on, where actually we need to build bridges towards other people. And so today I want to look at four ways that we can bridge build in our broken society. And I really hope this will challenge you, inspire you as you move out of today and go and reach those that are outside of these four walls. So the first thing I think we can do to bridge build is to seek opportunities. John 4, verse 4 to 6. This is the start of the story. It says, "Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon." You know, this part of the story intrigues me because it says that Jesus had to go through Samaria. And I kind of looked up this word in the original language, thinking, was that really what it was trying to say? And actually, the original language means it was absolutely necessary. So I just find this so interesting that for Jesus, it was absolutely necessary that he encounter this woman. It was absolutely necessary that he go to this particular place at this particular time, when in reality, anyone else looking on would have said, it's certainly not necessary to go through Samaria. It's certainly not necessary to encounter a Samaritan. But Jesus actually is different and says, it is necessary that I go to this particular place. You know, there's a shopping centre near us called Lakeside that I often go to, and they've recently built this new kind of coffee shop called Tim Hortons. I don't know if Tim Hortons has made it to Folkestone. No, everybody's looking confused, so probably not. But Tim Hortons is a Canadian coffee shop, I guess. And I love it. I mean, I don't like coffee, but they do really, really good donuts. And so I love Tim Hortons. And to be honest, I think part of it is it brings back all these like memories of being a child and traveling to Canada with my parents, and we'd always go to Tim Hortons. So when it opened, I was like super excited. And so I went there, I got a donut, I had a drink, it was great. Now the problem is, every time I go to Lakeside, I kind of feel it is necessary to go to Tim Hortons. And so I end up in this place again eating a donut, which is obviously not good. And I think when it comes to this story that we're looking at, it's a similar thing where for some, it wouldn't have seemed necessary to go to that particular place. But for Jesus, it was absolutely necessary. He had to go there because he had to encounter this woman. I just love the thought that Jesus would go out of his way to places others would not, to reach others that people would often pass over. Kind of excites me as I think about that. Now, my friend Ali, who's here today, she works for a gang prevention charity. And she's working on a particular estate in Dagenham that is a bit of a weird estate. It's kind of like the forgotten land of Dagenham, right far up in the borough. And nobody goes there. It's like across a main road. It's really isolated. And to be honest, it's really, really rough. And I love every time she comes back, particularly on a Tuesday after having run a youth club, telling me about all these connections that she's built with the community. Because really, in many ways, she's going out of her way to go to a place where people wouldn't normally go, just like Jesus would do. And so my challenge for you today really is to seek ways to build bridges towards people in your community that others may tend to walk away from. Maybe the broken or the sick or the hungry or the abused or the lonely. My favourite passage is in Romans 15 in the Message, verse 3 to 6. It says this: that's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but waded right in and helped out. I took on the troubles of the troubled, is the way Scripture puts it. Even if it was written in Scripture long ago, you can be sure it's written for us. God wants the combination of his steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in Scripture to come to categorize us, keeping us alert for whatever he will do next. May our dependably, steady and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so that you get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with all of us. What a brilliant verse. Just love that, what it says there. Second thing we can do to build bridges is to look for common ground. John 4, 7 to 9 says, when the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." You don't know, I don't know if you've ever had a conversation with someone where you are really struggling to find some kind of common ground. I worked with young people for a long period of time, and when they came into our youth group, I'd always try and have a conversation. And there were those really good conversations where you'd start a conversation, I'd maybe ask them what their favourite subject was at school. If they said music, I'd be like, "Oh, so was mine, I loved music, blah, blah, blah." And then you find some common ground, you start speaking. If they said my favourite subject was sport, I'd say, "Oh, I didn't like sport, oh," you know. And you found some common ground that you could talk about. But there was those odd occasions where a young person would come in and you'd ask these questions and they'd be like, "Yeah. And you'd think, "I'm not getting anywhere here. It's really, really awkward." You know, I remember another time where I went on holiday to Poland with a group of friends, and the friends had booked the holiday. Now, I'm normally the friend that books the holiday, but clearly I'd given over the responsibility. And so they booked this holiday to Poland, and we were meant to be going to Krakow, but we landed in Wrocław. Who's ever heard of that place in Poland? It is not a tourist destination. And so we got there, nobody spoke English, and we realized we needed to somehow get to Krakow, which was 4 hours away. And so nobody spoke English. We were trying to communicate, you know, when you use your hands, as if that ever helps, try to do that to try to get to the place we were going to get to. And eventually, we managed to get ourselves to a train station, and we were trying to find some common ground to explain how we needed to get to this one place. And the only thing I thought I'd try to use is my little bit of German from school, in hope that the person in the booth spoke German. Well, he spoke a tiny bit of German, I spoke a tiny bit of German, and somehow we got a train ticket to Krakow. But we had to find this kind of common thing. And when it comes to this story at the woman at the well, I love it because Jesus uses a very simple thing to find a common ground. He talks about water. He says, "Will you draw me some water? I'm thirsty." He actually uses this in order to be able to connect with the person that he's trying to connect with, to build a bridge towards this person. Now, I recently listened to a podcast with a pastor called Nicky Gumbel from London, and he was saying, in relation to the Alpha Course, that when he's training people for the Alpha Course, he uses this verse in Proverbs, which says, "Someone's thoughts may be as deep as the ocean, but if you are smart, you'll discover them." And he said, you can actually dig deep with a person to find something interesting inside of them. You can find common ground. And sometimes we can look at the people around us and think, they are so different from myself. How will I ever find common ground with these people. But Jesus calls us, just like he did with the woman at the well, to build a bridge, to be able to communicate and connect with the person that he was talking to. It's a real challenge for us. I love how Jesus takes a seemingly insignificant thing to connect with someone in so many ways that are different from himself. Third way I think we can build bridges is to use wise words. I'm going to read from verse 10 in John 4. It says, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." You know, this passage makes me laugh because this is such an awkward moment, where firstly, the woman has touched on the issue of her ancestors. Now, that may not seem like a big deal for us, but for her, it was a really big deal. She was kind of, I think, trying to test the waters. Let's see what he says. Is he going to get angry with me? I don't know if you've ever been in a conversation where someone's trying to provoke you, but it was this kind of situation. And so it gets really awkward with the words that were being used. And then Jesus, of all people, pulls out this line, "Go get your husband." I mean, if you think about it, it sounds a little bit sarcastic and a little bit awkward, but it's really interesting that somehow in this communication that takes place, a bridge is being built. If you move on later in the story, right down verse 39 to 41, it says, "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony, because of her words. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers." I love this because there's so much power in our words. And when it comes to building bridges towards other people, our words are so important. Our words are so vital. The reality is our world uses a lot of words a lot of the time that are not helpful towards people. That's quite apparent. But here, because of the words that he uses, he's able to draw this woman in and connect with her. Now, recently I went to the hairdressers, and I really hadn't prepared myself for the conversation that was going to take place. I just wanted to get my hair done. And so as I sat down, the woman started talking, and you know what it's like in the hairdressers, particularly ladies, it's just like, you know, 3 hours of non-stop talking. And so she was chatting away, and she was saying how difficult life had been after, or when COVID struck, with her work and blah, blah, blah. And then she said to me, "Has COVID affected your work?" And to be honest, in that moment, I was like, I don't know what to say. And so really quickly, you know, in your head when you're trying to think what to say, I was like, well, no, not really. It's not really affected my work. And before I could say any more, she said, "So what is it that you do?" And then I was like, oh, no, I don't know how to explain this. You know, at one point in my life, I could have said, "Oh, I'm a youth worker," and that would have been a softer approach than saying I'm a pastor. So I said, well, I like help churches to get better. I thought, that sounds weird, you know. And she was like, oh, right. Then I sort of rambled on about how I'd started a food bank and all of this stuff, which obviously trying to connect with her. So that was interesting. That was the first bit. Then for whatever reason, we got onto the topic of grief. I mean, how, I don't know. But we started talking about grief. She told me how she'd lost a grandparent. She was really struggling. So I said, oh, I've written a book about grief, because I went through my own grief journey. And she was like, wow, how did you write a book? And then again, I was like, oh no, how do I answer this? So then I was like, well, you know, I said I went to church. She's like, yeah. So I said, like, every night I write in a journal, but like, not like Dear Diary, I write like to God. And she was like, oh, I mean, honestly, I must have completely confused her. So I said, every night when I was writing in my journal to God, I like wrote things I felt he was saying to me, and then I kind of formed a book out of that. The poor woman was so confused. Okay. And I came out of the hairdresser's and I thought, Hannah, you have got to be more prepared for these answers. Because there's so much power in our words that we use. And I really challenge you today, when it comes to reaching other people, when it comes to building bridges towards those that might be different to us, consider your words. Proverbs 18:21 says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Maybe take some time to prepare the words that you're going to use to be able to connect with the people around you. Fourthly and finally, look for opportunities to include. Verse 39 says, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the savior of the world. I love this phrase that said, the town believed because of the woman's testimony. Something took place in her life which turned everything around for her because of the words and the impact of this connection or this bridge that had been built towards her from Jesus. But it didn't stop there. She effectively became part of Jesus's team. She became part of the team that was going to begin to evangelize all over the place. She became part of the team that was going to help to spread the message of Jesus into that local place. And because of her testimony, because of what Jesus had done in her life, an entire town believed. Now, I've got friends at the moment who are planting a church on the Isle of Wight, and it's just really interesting being able to hear all the stories of the things that they're doing. And our friend Emma, she, when they moved there, she started going to this coffee shop that was just around the corner from their house, and she met this woman called Meg. And so every week she'd go to the coffee shop with her little son, and they'd have a coffee together, and she began talking to her. So she's been there a year now, and last week she texted us and she said, you will never believe it, I think Meg has become a Christian. And it was such an exciting moment, because the reality was, up until this point, she'd connected with us, she'd built a bridge towards her. In reality, she'd included her in to what they were doing. And because of that including in, she's actually come to a place of finding Jesus. If you want to be someone that builds bridges towards others in your community, look for opportunities to include them in what is happening. You know, there's a famous kind of buzz phrase, I guess, that's gone around the church world that says, many belong before they believe. People kind of put it out all sorts of times. But the reality is, it is true that often for those that are not in this room today, they want to feel a sense of belonging, a sense of being part of what you're doing before they make that choice to believe, just like my friend Meg. And so I challenge you today, when it comes to the building of bridges towards people, to think, when I look at my street, when I look at the people around me, how can I include them in my life and in what I'm doing? Now, about 3 months before the pandemic hit, me and my mum went on a trip to Hong Kong. Slightly controversial, but we went there because we were going to a wedding. And we went to this wedding, and in terms of like not understanding culture, I mean, it was like a fascinating thing. The food was fascinating. And then, did you know, at Chinese weddings, they don't do any dancing? I mean, I'm not really an avid fan of dancing at weddings, but however, I was like, wow, this is fascinating. They just take loads of photos, like continuously, and then there's a whole tea ceremony. I thought that was really cool, because I love a good cup of tea, although I'm sure it was slightly different. So all of this was happening. But what was also happening in Hong Kong at the time, if you remember back to them, was there was these horrific protests that were going on that were resulting in a lot of violence. And so it was quite a risky thing to go on holiday there. My mum seemed slightly oblivious, and she was just living the dream, seeing all these places. And I was like, Mum, we need to get out of here. We're going to end up in a riot. So that was quite interesting. But one of the things that was fascinating to me was, on this particular day, we were going to what's called the Peak in Hong Kong, where you can see it all over the city. And on our way to the Peak, we were on this bus, and everywhere you went, you could see, like, honestly, hundreds of women sitting on the side of the road on like cardboard boxes. They weren't homeless, but they were just sitting on these boxes and they were sharing food, they were playing games. And I was like, honestly, so confused. And it didn't matter where we went, there were women doing this all over the city. And so you had all of these women, and then you had all these protests going on and police everywhere. So it was just absolute chaos. And it was really frustrating me that I didn't understand what was going on. So in the end, I got up my bravery and I went to one of the women. I said, "Do you speak English?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Like, can you tell me what's going on here?" And she said, "Well, in Hong Kong, all our houses are really, really tiny. So we can't often hang out with all our friends." I mean, when I say like women, these were of all ages. So it wasn't just young women, all ages. And she said, "And the Hong Kong government won't let us go into the parks in case we make mess with our food. And so we're kind of in a way protesting because we just want to be in community with each other. And we just want to spend time with each other." And it was like this most beautiful picture of the community of God. I was like, wow, that is incredible. And so as you walked along, all ages of women, they were laughing and chatting. And for this entire Saturday, they just lived in community with one another. And then right next to them, you had protesters and the police, and it was just craziness and at points really, really dangerous. And I remember looking at that and seeing this huge contrast of really what society can often look like. And I believe as the church, we have to be the people that are going to build the bridges to form community. We have to be the people that are going to look around our streets, look around our town and see who are the people that we need to connect with and build towards. And so my prayer for you today, as you go away from this place, is to take some time to consider. I pray that you'll take some time to think, how can I connect further with those that are around me? Would you stand with me today? I'm going to pray as we close off. Lord Jesus, we look in your word and we see what your word speaks about your heart for this world. And you are so passionate about the people that are not yet in this building. You are so passionate about building bridges and bringing peace into situations where there's ultimate chaos. And we can look at our news and feel overwhelmed by the chaos that we see in our society. But Father, as we drill it down to our own individual lives, I pray that you would challenge us to be people who build bridges, people who connect with those that others don't connect with, people that go out of our way to find common ground, to be able to love and encourage and ultimately be able to share you with. And so, Father, I pray over this great church that there would come just such a burden to be able to build bridges to those in the community. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.